The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we are heading to Omaha a little bit later, talking to Tom Hart. It's such a big story out there with Mississippi State, Vandy playing tomorrow, and, of course, Tennessee. Ramon Foster, former Vol great, hosts a show in Nashville. And, Ramon, I know there has, in years past, the College World Series probably not a big topic among Tennessee fans, but this year baseball has taken over the state. How are you doing? And I'm sure it's nice to have a Tennessee team winning again.
You know what? Thanks for having me on the show. And you are 100% correct. This fan base here, and I'm sure you know how it is, but they've been starving for something good. Rick Barnes and the basketball team delivered on their end. Still a whole lot of hay to be made there. But what Tony Vitello has done with this baseball team is nothing but excitement. Me being on the radio here, I hear a lot of it. I'm seeing a lot of it on social media, and the way they're doing it has this fan base exactly where you think it would be. It's in a really good spot right now. I think the whole state, including Vandy, too.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to leave Vandy out because they may have the best chance of all the SEC schools, and we will talk about that, of course, throughout this program today. But before, I don't want to get too deep without talking about Tennessee football for a second, Ramon, because we've spoken to you periodically with the hiring of Heupel, and you have a pretty good seat to what has been going on. We know a lot of players left, a lot of players are coming in. What is the state of the UT program right now?
You know, with the players leaving, the way the protocol is set up now, where guys don't have to really sit out for with them transferring, that's the way it's going to be. Coach Heupel is a new head coach at UT right now. And what happens with almost anything is the coach start to get their guys in, or maybe the guys who are there feel like the system doesn't work for them, or maybe they just don't like it, or they wanted to play for the old coach. And that's fine. We're going to see a whole lot of that from, program to program in college football and college sports in general. But me being there, being able to see the spring game this year, got a chance to meet a lot of the coaches, including Coach Heupel and the staff and the strength and conditioning coaches. And this is the one thing that I kind of got from him and what they're trying to do there. One, when I met him, I didn't feel like it was a car salesman pitch. He was trying to sell me on something. It was good to just talk to him and him be realistic about where Tennessee was and where the guys were. And seeing them in the spring game, I saw what everybody's been saying about this offense. It was exciting. It was something that other teams are going to have to prepare for. And if they lock it in, it has the opportunity to be exciting. He has the opportunity to at least pivot UT in a way that it should be, or what it's been historically. And you know it's been a while since we've been in that type of position. So I think it's good. The biggest thing that you see them doing on social media right now is honestly trying to it'll sound weird or it might sound soft when I say this, but they got to kind of repair some of these kids' minds, their mindset on what it is to have a fun college experience, their mindset on what it takes to actually win. And that was the feel that I got from him, I got from his staff, and it looked like the student-athletes, because we got to throw student in there too, they're finally coming to realize, like, hey, we have a shot, you know, to actually do something good or at least be a part of turning this program around.
Ramon, let's talk about what again, you can only see so much during a spring, but, you know, you talk to everyone. What's this team going to look like in September?
I don't think it's going to be perfect, but I think what you're going to see is a team that is going to be efficient on offense. They're going to be fast-paced, and if they execute well, I'm not saying they're going to beat Alabama by any stretch, because that is a machine that nobody's really tackling right now. But if they have an opportunity to keep a game close and the defense holds up their end of the ball game too, then they have a shot to turn things around. We were talking about on our show, and it was kind of brought up, what Coach Heupel and his staff has to do in Knoxville with the football team, the floor has to be kind of what Ole Miss did, what Lane Kiffin has done there, the way Arkansas is trying to turn their program around, also create a whole lot of buzz, get people interested in what Tennessee is. Because the selling point on what Tennessee is right now is 2000, I guess the latest version of that was good was 2007 when we played in the SEC championship. Joshua Dobbs is a guy that played well at UT, but there's been a lot of players that come out But the reinvention of what Tennessee is has to be what Ole Miss kind of set the stage for. I don't want to compare it to them, but if you make it exciting, and that's what Coach Heupel's teams have been as far as play on the field, then you got an opportunity to pull a recruit here and there. And if you get good quarterback play, and you know that too, the quarterback play is what's going to determine a whole lot from your team's success. If they get that and get a good recruit that can come in and hold the wheel the way they should, there's a great opportunity for him. And it's a big talent still.
As you know, Ramon, I mean, players have continued to go to Tennessee. It's an attractive place. The development with all the coaching changes has been another story. You mentioned the coaching staff. What is your assessment of what Heupel has brought? A lot of those guys came from UCF.
Yeah, so far I think it's been a good mix of guys that's been in the program, well, been in the SEC with Rodney Garner, guys who have done good things at, Ohio State with Coach Banks, Penn State. It's just the ability that they have a coaching staff that's been in big places. Like you said, with the attraction of being able to get guys and prove that, hey, look, I'm just not some slappy that's coming from a small school. I understand what it takes to get you to the next level. You said a word a second ago, and it came down to development. That's one thing I think we've lacked in a lot of areas when it comes down to Tennessee. We had a second-round draft pick this last draft, that played wide receiver at the University of Tennessee. You got to ask yourself, how come we didn't hear more about him? And I think that kind of goes back to the development of the players. And if for anything, that's what Coach Heupel and his staff, I think, is committed to. When you win big time, you're going to get big time recruits. And that's what your Ohio States, that's what your Alabamas, that's what your Clemsons, Georgias are doing. They win big and they get big time recruits. Where we are right now, and I think what Coach Heupel and his staff are doing, if they're saying to themselves, from what I'm reading as far as recruiting goes, if we can get one or two, four, five star guys, that's fine. But they're going to have to be a program now where the fans sit back and watch this coach and his staff develop guys, where you take three-star guys and turn them into five-star type of players and you get the most out of them, and then you send them to the next level. That's what I'm getting from his staff. They have a stud of a coach in Rodney Garner. If you mention his name, most people know who he is when it comes to D linemen that you put in and around the league. And Coach Heupel and his background as far as quarterback development has been good. The SEC is also a tough league. If he can handle the task of recruiting or competing and recruiting with other coaches in the SEC, getting one guy here and there, stealing them from another school with the opportunity that they can play earlier because Tennessee needs a whole lot of depth, needs a whole lot of talent, then you find yourself in a better situation than the last staff.
Ramon, I know the story is taking a back seat, and maybe that's good, maybe it's not. I don't know. But what do you get from your sources up there about the NCAA investigation, and do they seem to be moving forward without that affecting them very much?
They seem to be moving forward. All we're hearing here is that it's closer to better than there were. I think what Tennessee is trying to do is trying to get ahead of everything as far as the NCAA is concerned and trying to self-impose as they can. The thing is, will the NCAA be satisfied if Tennessee does self-impose? What's going to happen more than anything is if it does come down from the NCAA, then you hope they don't punish the current staff because of old staff ways. And that's, I think, the reason it's been so hush as of late. I think that's the reason why they've kind of excommunicated themselves from guys who had those type of issues, whether it was infractions, illegal activities with recruits. And they're just trying to clean it up as much as they can. Danny White has been out front as much as he can about what it's going to take to get UT back to a good program. And tackling this NCAA investigation is going to be huge because if they come down hard with stripping the scholarships, then it's a hard place to put you as far as trying to get talent in and get this university as far as the football side of it in a good way.
Ramon, I know the projections are reasonably upbeat for this season, and I think some of that has to do with the schedule. I mean, Tennessee has played far more difficult non-conference schedule. What is your What is your best guess? I mean, if this team got to a bowl game, you'd have to consider that to be pretty good news, wouldn't you?
It is, and that's where you have to be. 6 or 7 games, I think that's where you have to be. Like you said, you mentioned the non-conference games. That's 3 games in a row, with Bowling Green, Pittsburgh, and Tennessee Tech. Pittsburgh has been a solid team. They put a lot of guys in the pros as of recently. And that's going to be a challenge for sure. But if they can get 2 of those 3 or all 3 of those, that puts you in a good place. You mentioned South Alabama, Vanderbilt, Kentucky still going to compete. And the 2 that they got to compete with is South Carolina and Missouri. If they're moving the way they should, and honestly, if the defensive side of the ball can do what they have to, as far as if there's a quick 3 and out, because this Coach Heupel offense is that fast. And it'll put the defense at a disadvantage. If they're able to hold themselves together and make it happen defensively, this offense is going to be able to do some very special things. So 6 games, maybe 7, is a win in the first year for Coach Heupel at the University of Tennessee.
Ramon, before you go, let me ask you about that offense and who is going to run it. I mean, I know there are a bunch of quarterbacks up there. Which one's going to get the starting job?
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
It's tough to say right now, honestly. The spring game was kind of telling. They have a veteran in Hendon Hooker. But I think if we're looking at it right now, from what I saw in the spring game, Maurer looks the bill. Caden Salt is a young guy that came in, but he had his trouble, so he missed the whole entire spring. If I was a guessing man, I would honestly look at Maurer or Hendon Hooker just simply based off of experience and the way I honestly saw Maurer play in the spring game. He's athletic enough. He has the ability. It just honestly comes down to execution of the plays and being able to change the temperature of that offensive unit when he walks in the huddle. That's what it's going to take, somebody that commands that role and delivers when they have to.
Ramon, a pleasure to have you. Continued good luck with your show. I know you're excited about the season like we all are. Come back soon. Take care of yourself.
Absolutely. See you soon.
You got it. Ramon Foster joining us from Nashville. We must go to a break. We will get to your calls in a few minutes. We'll also visit out in Omaha, give you a preview of the College World Series coming up.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back here. And as we promised, we are heading to Omaha and check in with Tom Hart. You saw a few minutes of him earlier in the program during one of our pods talking about the games. Tom, thank you very much. It's been a very long time. Glad to see you're well situated out there.
Paul, thanks. Great to be with you, and it's great to be back in Omaha. You know, this is a sensational event for people who have been here. They understand. If you haven't been here, I invite you here. It is a great event every year, even if your team isn't here. And man, like a lot of things in sports, we missed it last year, and it's just so rewarding to be back on site and seeing the teams and coworkers and friends. And, we're looking forward to a great week.
Well, let's talk about, you know, what's at stake this weekend. Certainly Vandy plays first, and then on Sunday, of course, State and Tennessee. First, Vanderbilt. They seem like they ought to be the favorite in this thing, maybe Texas, but how do you see the Commodores?
No, that's right, and the folks in Vegas see it the same way. Vanderbilt and Texas have about the same odds to win this thing. I think Vanderbilt is a team. Listen, we all know about Rocker and Leiter. We've talked about them all season. They're going to go top 10 in the draft, probably, and the first teammates to do that since Garrett Cole and Trevor Bauer, and they both pitched at UCLA. What I think is overlooked is the offensive performance for this team. They average more than 7 runs a game. It's a deep lineup. They can run. Enrique Bradfield, who was SEC Freshman of the Year, can flat out change the game when he gets on base. And all of that matters, but I think what matters most, Paul, is experience. And Tim Corbin has been here, and he's won it. And Kamar Rocker has pitched on this stage, and he was the most outstanding player. It can be a stage of nerves or inexperience that I think can get in the way of even successful teams or talented players coming out on top. And I just don't see that being an issue with Vanderbilt. And I think that is a major advantage to them right out of the gate. You know, they're going to place an Arizona team that scores a ton of runs. They've got a lot of dudes that can hit. And they've got to face Kamar Rocker, who's been here, and he's done this, and he is better in big games. Whether he's more focused or more dialed in, I don't know. All I know is it's a big game. I want him on the mound.
Talking to Tom Hart about the weekend in Omaha, not the weekend, but the next 2 weeks, let's talk about the games on Sunday. I know you'll be part of one of those SEC games. You have State, obviously Tennessee. How would you? I mean, Tennessee's been so hot lately. State, what a weird weekend in Starkville. So, how do you see those games?
Well, my question for Tennessee is, and they've got to face a real. I mean, listen, everybody's got great pitchers, right? So, the guy you're going to face is going to be a real ace. My question is, does that offense travel? The ball's been flying out of the ballpark all season. Here's the storyline, just kind of big picture to keep your eye on. The ball is absolutely loaded. I mean, it is hard as a billiard ball, and it flies out of the ballpark this year. It's now record for home runs hit in the NCAA tournament with these level bats, and only like 15 away from the last highest number when the BB Corps bats before they were introduced. So, it's just like they can change the composition of the ball at the major level to get different performances. It seems like this NCAA ball is a lot harder, travels farther, the seams are a little bit lower, all of that less drag, yada, yada. So the ball will fly, and we'll probably see more home runs hit if the weather cooperates here than we have in some time. Tennessee needs that to win. The last 30 games or so, the second half of the season, they've been a power team, and they play in a ballpark where it makes sense to be a power team. If the ball isn't flying here in Omaha, they're going to have to find ways to score some runs, because it's not a really dominant pitching staff like you see from elite teams. They got guys with great wins, they got guys with velocity, they have a closer who's got experience, but it's not, say, electric like Mississippi State's bullpen or electric like Vandy's rotation. So they're a team that needs to score some runs to win the game. And Mississippi State, that same conversation, Paul, they don't need to hit a long ball to win. Now, they've got a really tough draw because Texas is legit, and they played a good schedule, and they've got an ace and all that stuff. But Mississippi State, this is my favorite stat, and I hate throwing out numbers because I think they're boring. But they get the lowest percentage of their runs from the long ball than anybody left in the tournament, and second only in the SEC to Missouri. They don't need to hit it over the fence to score runs, and you got to try to manufacture an offense when you play it.
And before you go, Tom, we talked about the three SEC schools. You've alluded to a few of the other schools. So outside of Vandy and you mentioned Texas, how formidable are they?
Yeah, they're legit. I mean, it's a real team. It was here a few years ago under David Pierce. He's a great coach. They've got the Big 12 Pitcher of the Year. They're built pretty well for this ballpark because they have speed. They got guys that can run. They field it okay, but they cover a lot of ground. So they get to a lot of balls, and it's a big outfield. Another team I think deserves mention. This is a real wild card. Like, if this were a horse race, this would be the one you throw in there just because the odds are so long, it might be fun. But NC State is a great fielding team, top five in the country. They're top 10 in home runs. They've won more games away from home than anybody. And we know what they did at Ball Stadium last week. Like, they're not afraid of playing in front of huge crowds. They had a terrible start in the ACC, but the last half of the season, they've been one of the best teams in the country. They just got off to such a slow start, nobody paid attention. So I think NC State will be a really interesting watch over the course of this weekend. And that's the first game of the series tomorrow afternoon against Stanford.
And, Tom, finally, it's almost surreal to be talking about the College World Series without mentioning Arkansas. I mean, you've covered a lot. You've done a lot of games over the years. I mean, in the pantheon of big upsets, where would that rank?
Well, I'll say it like this. Arkansas was, without a doubt, the best team in college baseball during the regular season. But I don't think they were the same team in the postseason. When they left Hoover, they were a different team altogether. They had injuries to their pitching staff, injury to their first baseman, Brady Slavens. Once they got to the Super Regionals, Christian Franklin, the starting center fielder, had to deal with an illness all week. They just weren't the same. And then you can be critical of Dave Van Horn for over-relying on Kettle Cops, but that was the only pass that they had because they didn't have any depth yet left. So, yeah, on paper, that's a huge upset. But we see that in college baseball semi-regularly. Michigan did that a couple years ago to the number one seed UCLA. And the number one overall seed hasn't won this thing since 1999. So there's still great parity in the game. And, Paul, if that were the full-strength Arkansas team that we saw during the season, it would be a major upset. But they just weren't the same team at the end of the road.
Tom Hart, we'll be watching him tomorrow afternoon. Well, we'll be watching his broadcast. Tom, thank you. We look forward to visiting again as this gets underway from Omaha.
Anytime, Paul. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Tom Hart, out in Omaha, the College World Series begins tomorrow afternoon. Let's take a break. 30 minutes to go as we wrap up the week right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. Final 30 minutes of the week. Lee is up next in Indiana. Hello, Lee.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to talk about people like JK who are calling up and trying to say that their argument about things such as Central Florida back in 2017. The thing is that the 12-team playoff, in my opinion, is only going to help teams like Central Florida. The playoff committee is going to be cognizant of a team that's undefeated and that has the backing of the public at large. But by that same token, that Auburn team, I think, would have made the 12-team playoff also. And had those two teams been playing for something that would have led to the national championship, I think it would have been a much different outcome of the game. Because games is played by X's and O's, but it's also won because of Jimmies and Joes. Still, that's how it's always
yeah,
been.
Yeah, and I know that, I mean, we all do it. We use results to whatever advantage we're trying to argue, but when a team is knocked out of the national championship race or whatever race, the bowl game has to be examined. We've seen in Nick Saban's career two utterly bizarre outcomes. Both times the team had lost to either in one case Florida, the other case Alabama, Auburn. I mean, and you know, there was just he was unable to get them to play at a high level.
Exactly. Auburn was hoping to be able to make it into the playoffs.
Right, exactly.
Year, and when they did that took all the wind out of their sails.
And the amazing thing is, Lee, I mean, they had beaten Georgia and Alabama, both number one teams, and then their running back got hurt. They lost in the championship game, and they were done.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
But I mean, but that wouldn't have happened though if there had been a 12-team playoff. They still would have been in the running. And you see, the 12-team playoff lets teams like Auburn, who get hot at the end of the year, who everybody thinks, wow, this may be the best team in the nation right now, and a team also like UCF, who goes undefeated, well, there's a question, are they the best or not? Well, let them figure it out on the field, and it will get figured out on the field now. So it's only going to help both situations. I don't see why people have any kind of argument against it. For those two cases.
Well, Lee, thank you for the call. And the one thing, I think everybody wants to be heard, and that's fine. That's what this program is doing. I don't think anyone's listening to what we say other than those of us participating, though. Hey, thank you for the call. Ryan is up next in Kansas City. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Paul. This kind of goes right into that conversation you just had. And I'm wondering, looking at the expansion, do you think teams from the AAC will maybe not surpass teams from the Pac-12, but they're getting close to an even playing field once you take off out USC and Oregon?
Oh, even, I mean, last year Cincinnati was ranked ahead of anyone in the Pac-12, so you're right, yeah. Yeah, Coastal Carolina.
Like, I'm just looking at the future. More than anything.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, the Pac-12 is, I think this is a big year for them, especially a couple of coaches like Chip Kelly. Even David Shaw, who was, if you had asked me 5 years ago, who are the top five coaches in the country, he would have been on the list. Herm Edwards, who by all accounts has been doing a great job at Arizona State, he knocked off a major, who would he beat? Utah a couple of years ago. I mean, I'm not sure. He may not survive. I mean, he's under the NCAA gun right now and doesn't look very good. So there's a lot of potential change out there.
Yeah. Also, question. I'm thinking about going to see Alabama and A&M and going and seeing that game on October 9th. What's your thoughts about driving 11 hours to see maybe the best game of the year?
Well, Ryan, I didn't realize Kansas City to College Station was 11 hours. It seems like it ought to be closer. I think it's going to be a phenomenal atmosphere. I think right now, if you look at the SEC, it is definitely the conference game of the year. And I would go for it.
Go for it.
Yeah? I got my buddy who goes there at pharmacy school at the moment, so.
I tell you what, I don't know what our schedule is for the fall, and I don't think anybody does, but I'd say there's a reasonable chance we might be there. So if we are, come on by on Friday, and we'll hang out together.
Okay, Paul. You have a great one.
Thank
great
you.
Great weekend as well.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, that's something we didn't say last year. Come meet us on the Friday before the game. Let's check out some more calls here. Bill is in Pennsylvania. Good afternoon, Bill.
Good afternoon, Paul. Listen, is there Christine Brennan? Is she still with USA Today?
She is, yes.
You know? I'm wondering why she hasn't come out with anything concerning the Bo Schembechler situation, because she's usually right up on it. But I know she's a big Michigan fan and a Schembechler fan, so maybe there's some hypocrisy there.
I'm going to double check because she may have already addressed it. I cannot remember because I usually read her columns, but I'm checking to see if she wrote. Yeah, she did. She did write about it about a week ago.
Okay.
And her headline was, "If allegations are true, Michigan must do to Bo what Penn State did to Paterno." So she grew up in Toledo, as you may know. Toledo is in Ohio, but in many ways it's a Michigan town. It's on the border, and
right.
She was a Michigan fan her entire life growing up.
Right. I'm sorry I missed that article, because the only one I saw on the USA Today was the one, I guess, on Friday, July 11th, and it wasn't by either her or was it Nancy Dowd? Is that the other?
Yeah, you know, her column came out June 10th. I thought I read it, but, you know, again, a lot of articles just kind of run together. But Christine, and she takes a lot of flack, but she does not play favorites.
Okay, she did write it then, so I apologize.
Yeah, go back and check it out. June 10th was the date.
Pardon?
It came out on June 10th, if you want to look it up. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Let's check out Randy, who is up next. Well, let me hit the... Hey, Randy, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, thank you. Show. Thank you very much.
I was just going to call in about talking about the college football playoff. The only person I've really heard say anything about the player side of it is Booger McFarland, and I'm kind of on his bandwagon about that. Everybody wants to extend it and play more games, and I got that, and everybody's tired of the four or five teams that get in there every year. I understand all that, but, you know, you're asking these kids to play a lot more games, and at the end of the season, they're already beat up. And players is hurt, playing hurt, done, and they're only, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. Their body still ain't even fully developed, a lot of them. And you're going to get them all hurt. And it's time to go to the NFL. They might make it, but they're already wore out. You're wearing them out too early.
Well, Randy, I think what you're saying is legitimate, and I think a lot of coaches have said this in the past, but I think you get down to a tug of war, and right now the tug of war seems to be playing the games are winning, and I hope that they have taken a good long look at the health of the player. I'm sure they have. I don't know how to answer that question because I'm not a sports medicine expert, but maybe we should talk to one day and see what they think. Joe is up next in Texas. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Well, thank you.
Good. I was calling about the playoff, too. I agree with the last caller. I mean, you know, the more games they play, the more risk to the health of the players. But I was also calling because I thought about it might devalue the regular season if they add more teams to the playoffs. I think they should have a few more teams because there's five Power Five conferences and only, you know, four teams get in. But, you know, it might look more like the NFL down the line where people may say, well, I can afford to lose a game or two down the stretch where it doesn't matter because I'm already in the playoffs. What do you think about
Joe,
that?
Joe, I hear you loud and clear, but I also will say this about the NFL. Yeah. I mean, the peak time of the season in the NFL is down the stretch because every game matters. The game is either for home field, it's for wild card, it's for positioning. I think college football will adjust to that. Now, I don't think the experience of college football is going to change, and I don't think there's anything that rivals it, the game day experience. I mean, some of the games, I think where you're going to get into it, though, is a team loses a rivalry game. Let's say LSU loses to Alabama. They're both undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
They're not playing for the SEC championship game, but they are still playing for the playoff. So you have these different issues going on concurrently, and I don't know how we're going to interpret that. I mean, if you're an LSU fan, you adjust. You say, okay, hey, my team lost the rivalry game, but we got to beat Texas A&M because if we do that, we're still in the playoffs. So I don't. I think it's I'm not as concerned about that as I am if you're not even in contention. I mean, once you lose that third game perhaps and get knocked out of the playoffs, then I think the bubble bursts. But if you're still in contention for a playoff berth, I think there's going to be a lot of adrenaline pushing your season forward.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.